where you twist the spoon in the opposite direction from the stem.
Right.
Which is more startling because there's no torque. You can't grab the spoon handle.
That's right.
And I took lessons from a kahuna who bent the bowl backwards halfway down the bowl.
Right.
With no effort whatsoever.
Well, I was in one of the universities back east, and they were interested in studying this. So I said, all right, we'll go into the stock room. And we got all different types of metal. I cut them up in 1 foot length. So they're all 1 foot in length and varying diameters from 1/8 inch in diameter up to 3/8 inch by 1 foot. So we had all the same dimensions. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
A fascinating thing that I found, I could not bend bronze.
Couldn't bend bronze?
Mm.
Why not?
No. The dissipation of charge was such that I could not bend it. I could bend it with physical strength. You follow me?
Right.
But I could not bend it. But when I got to stainless steel, you know how hard stainless steel was.
But look at the difference in the atomic weight.
The molecular structure. And I was able to attune to that. I could feel the vibration, and the thing snapped on me. In other words, I was focusing on it, and it just went bing like that, and it split apart.
Of course, bronze is an alloy in the mixture of metals, and
well,
it varies.
Mixture of copper and tin. I've forgotten what the other is.
Brass, I think.
And I did not get a response, and I suggest you try that, too. Get some rod stock, and you'll be surprised. You'll find some of the metals will work, and the others will not.
Huh.
Okay, Michael, but I'm happy to say that you did bend the spoon.
Yeah, you know, I also have a quick story about plants. My roommate, who's quite good with plants, we had a very sick plant we brought in the house to try and heal it. And he names them and kind of gets a feeling for them. And he was saying, well, I guess we'll have to think of a name for you. He was just kind of musing to himself, and he heard the plant say, I'm Isa.
Good.
So there are people who do talk, and they talk back if you'll pay some attention.
They sure will.
When he heard that, was that a sort of an ESP thing?
It was an audible.
An audible.
Well, you know, it's clairaudience.
Yes.
To the person who hears it, it is audible. However, the mechanism through which it is heard is lengthy to discuss. But it came externally.
Marcel certainly understands that.
Oh, yeah.
I've been into this many, many times.
Yeah. What's the technique of synchronizing the brain hemispheres like?
It's with breath. You normally, in breathing, we do alternate breathing. We don't have exactly the same indwelling of breath through the left and right nostril. With training, you bring both breaths in so that they're exactly at the same pressure and level, and you hold and release together. So your breathing apparatus starts to synchronize in getting the same amount of volume and pressure of air into the lungs. That synchronization gives a coherence to the EEG brainwave. I've been able to see this. I've had myself electroded for electroencephalogram, and I could see the exact balancing of both the left and the right hemisphere.
Okay, well, I'm going to try that.
You try that, and what you do is you close one nostril, you breathe in, and you feel that pressure. So you get a mental impression of the pressure and volume of air you're drawing in. Let the breath out, and then close the other nostril and draw the air in and get a feeling of that pressure. Literally, you're programming these two nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
Then you mentally state that I want now both left and right hemispheres to have the same volume of oxygen fed to them, because the oxygenation of the bloodstream comes from the air that we draw into our lungs. Follow?
Right.
Now, once you put that program into being and start to breathe that way, you're breathing under a direct programming, and suddenly you feel your body stiffen and the power starts to pour out of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the basis of what we call pranayama in yoga.
Okay,
Michael, you with us?
Yeah, I'm writing this down. Yeah, I am.
And there are books, one written by Swami Sivananda on the art of pranayama.
Okay.
And it gives you exactly this information.
Okay.
All right, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for participating in the experiment and listening, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Glad to have you aboard, and we hope the plant gets better there. And Al, did you bend your spoon?
No.
Well.
And I'm very disappointed because what happened, I did the bit with the hands up.
Did you?
And I guess the lady that was on just before I mentioned the 5-second delay.
Yes.
I felt the wind before you mentioned it.
All right.
And I couldn't understand, well, is this it? And then you said it, and it was in the left hand.
Right.
And I said, now, if I can do this, I can do anything.
That's right.
So when the spoon thing happened, possibly I didn't put enough pressure on it.
Well,
I felt the wind, too, but I couldn't get the spoon to bend, and I didn't want to use brute force.
No.
Well, it's a matter of synchronization. When you finish talking to me, I suggest you try it again and just do it in the quiet of where you are now and just become one with the spoon. I was giving a lot of instruction. We were really, it's hard to connect to all of you. And once you do that, you will feel it. And it's a real excitement because you know that spoon is bending beyond just a physical brute force.
I can barely hear you, Doctor.
I am sorry. Can you hear me now?
Let me turn you up.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
How is that now? Is that better?
That's better, yes. Thank you.
Good. All right. There is a real precise line of demarcation between physical force and the bending. And once the force is required to initiate the process, and the thing just goes like butter.
Uh-huh.
And all I can suggest now is just to try it.
I tell you what we'll do, Al. If it's all right with you, Marcel, later on, perhaps in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll try to bend spoons again.
Perhaps I wasn't holding it right. I was holding it with the spoon end, the actual spoon end, in my left hand.
Right.
And holding it as one would use it, and the left hand had the handle.
Well, what I do, I take my thumb and forefinger and just rub it back and forth on the handle.
Yes, I did that, and I got to a point where it stopped.
That is important. That's a pivot point for one end. Then I take my other fingers right on the tip. I put very little pressure. I focus on an area that I wanted to bend. Take a deep breath, build up the field, and suddenly let the breath out. It's like the chi. You know what you do in martial arts? And when you let the breath out and focus on it that way, the thing just lets go.
Okay, we'll try it again, Al.
Okay, right. But we're spending too much time on this spoon. The real reason I called was to, very early in the program, the doctor mentioned something about photographing thoughts.
Right.
How does that work with dreams?
With what, dreams?
Dreams, yes.
It should be very interesting. I have a syllabus of information. I call it the Psychic Research Notebook, where I have copied a Russian scientific paper on thought photography, and it gives explicit information of the distance from the brain and how they have captured pictures of the people thinking or hallucinating. Dreams should be the same thing.
Well, my dreams are more like hallucinations than they have been for years. People ask, what did you dream last night? There are not words in the English language to describe.
Right.
The things I see, even the colors are different. And for a long time, I was a little bothered by it, but then I thought, so what?
It's a wonderful thing because it is a tremendous ability to keep your body in balance when you can dream this way. It is good for you. Because you're restructuring your body from your dreams to what you're going to do in the days or weeks following.
Oh, am I in trouble?
No out of body, no bending spoons, and no dreams, Bill?
I can't tell you the things I've been going through here. Marcel, if I'm going to do all of that, I've got to go work out.
All right. I'm only beginning. You ought to see the stuff I have here in front of me. I think we should keep going now.
Yes, indeed.
I put together a series of manuscripts and notes, what I call the notebook, and I sold that for $10 to those who are interested, but these are papers and data that you could get no other place in the world. And I have that for sale at the laboratory for people who are interested.
On dreams.
Is this something on dreams?
Well, this is not on dreams, but it's on thought photography. And
okay, fine, wonderful.
And it gives you explicitly the type of film to use, how it can be applied, and I have it here for available.
I tell you what, Marcel, why don't we do this? Just give the address, your address, where
right.
they can reach you on any of the particular subjects, and you can fill them in on what you have for them afterwards, okay?
Good. Shall I do it now?
Oh, yeah, go ahead and give the address. Great.
Well, it's Psychic Research Incorporated. I'm going to give another number now. It's a Suite 110-406 South Bascom Avenue, San Jose, California, 95128. All right.
Okay, we've got that. And, of course, we'll have that for you with broadcast information for those that didn't receive that.
Good.
I also get a hold of Dr. Vogel.
Yes.
He has, obviously, a wealth of information that you'll find quite valuable to you.
Good, good, good.
And later we'll bend the spoons again, and maybe you'll do more than feel the wind, and maybe I will, too. So I'll go along that with you.
Let us hope.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's a Saturday night on KABC. That means it's open mind. I'm delighted you're with me. And I am delighted that Dr. Marcel Vogel is with me. We'll be back in just a moment. Certainly you may.
We're giving, for the first time, I think, ever, a one-week symposium on thought photography. And that's going to be held in Joy Lake in Reno, Nevada. And those who are interested in it can contact Alan Morvay, M-O-R-V-A-Y, 702-323-0378. And that will be in from October 11th to October 18th. We're going to bring together the Thelma Moss, Francis Farley, other people who have done work in this area. I'm bringing the Delaware camera there, and we will be doing and demonstrating this firsthand.
Now, that's in Reno, October 11th through the 18th.
Of this year.
And contact Alan Morvay. What's his number?
702.
Yes.
323-0378.
All right.
So it's,
That's a fascinating field.
I want to show this again, that other people can do it much the same as we have done here now in metal bending.
It's all a part of the same ballgame in
it's
a way,
all
isn't it?
The same thing. Now, the thing I'd like to bring up, I'm holding in my hand a crystal, what I call a healing crystal. It's taken over 10 years of research to develop this. And this material I am teaching now to the medical profession, to therapists, and to the general public, people who want to try to develop their ability to heal themselves instead of having to go to drugs. And basically what we are doing in this is removing locked stresses, programs that people have locked onto their body from a rejection program, or they have suffered a injury from a fall or an accident, and the body cannot release these patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to release these. And I would like to do now an experiment I've never done before in my life. Would you be willing?
You've got my full attention, Marcel.
All right. I'm going to try to do now a healing on those people who have some particular ache or pain in their body. Would you like that?
I would love it.
Okay.
Now, we have to realize that we have a radio station going here.
That's right.
We have an experiment going here.
This is purely an experiment.
We're not promising anything. And we're going to see if it'll work. And
now, I'm holding this crystal in my hand, and I'm projecting the thought of love and well-being through the crystal to all who are listening to me at this time. I want you now, if you will, to take a deep breath, hold your breath, And as you release your breath, link to me through the outgoing breath into the crystal that I hold in my hand. Now, in and out. In and out. And now I will send to each of you the thought of love and well-being. Now, with this, I will project a thought of a rose, a beautiful red rose. And now we will unfold the rose and project to you the odor of the rose. Now, breathe carefully. And you should now begin to experience the odor of the rose as the rose bud unfolds. You should see the red rose. And now we dissolve the rose. Now take another deep breath and put your hand on an area in your body that is suffering pain. Focus on that area with your mind. Take a deep breath and visualize the source of the pain. Now I will project to each of you the thought of love. Breathe in, focus on the pain, hold your breath. Now release your breath and break up the pattern that is giving you the pain. And bring your body back to a state of balance and well-being. Peace be to all of you who are listening to me at this time. And God be with you.
Marcel?
Yes.
I smelt a rose.
You did. I'm so happy. Isn't that something?
I didn't have any pain, but have a bit of a stopped up nose because I've been kind of on the tail end of a flu. Here.
Okay.
But my nose is clearing up.
It's clearing up too, isn't it?
Yes. But the rose was beautiful.
Isn't that lovely?
How do you do that? Now, are you only 400 something miles away from here?
All right.
You're holding onto a crystal. You're hanging onto a telephone.
Yeah.
And I'm hanging onto a radio station, but I'm smelling the rose.
I'm becoming one with you.
I love you.
Isn't that neat? I'm just trying to release what it means to be loving and to become a child again.
Let the little boy out every now and then is a very good idea, isn't it?
It is. See, that's what I'm trying to do now, is just to have fun in the real sense of the word, of being with people, enjoying them, and sharing the gifts our Lord has given me throughout my lifetime. I had, when I was with IBM, the privilege of designing the magnetic coating for the disk memory system. I hold the basic patents on the magnetic disk memory system.
I want to talk to you about the one I have. I keep losing things on it.
You do?
Yeah.
And God has given me a creative mind, and I'm trying to show other people how to use it.
You're one of the most creative minds in the world. Can we get to some of our callers now? They have
Good.
A myriad of things to talk to you about. And Adrian has been waiting a long,
okay,
long time.
I can't believe that I'm on.
First, hello, dear.
Dr. Vogel, I am thrilled to talk to you. For the last 2 days, I've been thinking about you, and I turned on the radio. Mm-hmm. Bill, I heard your voice, and I got a feeling, and I knew it was you, and it was you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you smell the rose?
I smelled the rose, and I have a cold and everything. I couldn't believe it. It was great.
You know, I'm going to give you a great big hug over the phone now. Can you take it?
Yes, I can take it.
Mm.
I give it back.
How does that feel?
Oh, wonderful. Dr. Vogel.
You're a family show, guys.
Yes. Dr. Fulda, I read an interview about your life and about your work with crystals in a magazine about 6 months ago.
That's in the secret, in the Science of Mind magazine.
That's right, yes.
Right.
And I have kind of two questions. In the article, you talked about the focus of your crystal, I guess,
right.
Generally speaking, which you called the witness bone. And to me, it sounded like in, I guess, Indian energy centers between the fourth and fifth. I'm not sure.
That is right.
Okay, and I want to ask you a second question. First, I would like you to explain a little bit about what that energy center is. And secondly, I want to apply it. I was thinking about finding out where you are to find out if I'm in West Los Angeles, if there's anyone down here who might be able to help a friend.
Help, yes.
Yes.
There is a wonderful doctor who is working with the crystals, and he is just a superb man. His name is Dr. John Adams, and he practices down in Los Angeles. And, if you will write to me, I will give you his phone number and address.
I will write to you. You
write to me, and I will send you in. He is practicing down there, and I'm really proud of him. He is such a wonderful man. Now, the witness bone is right opposite the thymus gland, T-H-Y-M-U-S. The thymus gland is a ductless gland, and when you stimulate that gland, you come in contact with your whole person. You can look at yourself in a holistic manner. And the ancient people have known this, the Chinese. And when they bury a person, they will put a metal plaque over the witness bone. They cover that so they can keep the person in their mind into the grave and they don't move out. Sensitives who work with a person who... a skeleton, and you focus in that region. Now that body has only the skeletal bony structure. The spine opposite the thymus gland will store the vibrations of the whole person. When you tune in to that area of the spine and close your eyes, suddenly in front of your mind's eye will be the image of that entire person. You will see the imaging of what they look like. Literally, you would close the skeleton. I have done this by taking a skeleton of an animal and putting my finger with the crystal on the witness area, taking a breath, going in, and suddenly I can see the animal as it looked fully with the tissue and the animal fur. It's very exciting.
It's very interesting. The thymus is very important to the entire operation of the reticulum system. Are your
That is correct.
Well, I don't know what the reticular system is.
Well, that is your system that helps you stay alive, that fends off all diseases. Your
whole defense mechanism.
Your immune system.
The whole immune system that keeps you in a state of health and well-being is controlled by the thymus.
Very interesting. Dr. Vogel, then, is Dr. Adams a specialist in any particular kind of medicine?
He's a general practitioner.
He is marvelous. Bill, if you give me a moment. My friend is experiencing, I think, a lot of emotional turbulence right now. He has been told he's got a spasm in the lower esophagus. It's that general area.
Yes.
He's been, when he goes to sleep, he's been under a great deal of stress, he has left his body probably during the last year, and he's afraid of it. I told him it's not necessarily something to be afraid of, and he feels.
I've been trying to for years.
And he feels his heart pounding, and he's afraid to go to sleep at those times, and it's just centered right there.
Will he do something very simple, and all of you who are listening can do it? If you have trouble like this, you buy a simple natural quartz crystal for a few dollars. You hold that in your hand, take a deep breath, and go into the crystal so you link your vibration to the crystal. You can keep yourself then in body and then take it to bed with you, and you will have a much more peaceful slumber and less strained emotional feeling.
Have him try that, Adrian.
I will.
It's very simple. I've given this to mentally or emotionally disturbed people, given them a gift, especially children, of a crystal. They love it, they pet it, and it stabilizes them to a very high degree.
Wonderful.
Adrian, does that help?
Very much.
Get a big hug. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You two be careful. It's a family show now.
Bye.
All right, Adrian, thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Marcel Vogel. It's Open Mind. With me, Dr. Marcel Vogel from Northern California. And we have Will on the line. Hello, Will.
Hi. I've been listening to you, and early on in the show when you were talking about the stars, I'm an actor, and about 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, somewhere around there, I went up to Sonora.
How old an actor are you there, Will?
12.
You're a young actor?
Oh, very good.
Get after it. Go.
And I was eating dinner one night, and I found a paper on a UFO museum. So I went there, and my mother and I got to be real good friends with the chair lady of it. And she explained to us what you said, Dr. Vogel,
yes,
on concentrating on the stars. And my brother and I have done that, and we've actually seen them pulsate and move.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's really neat. It freaked my brother out.
It is. And, you know, when you look at it, others around you will see it. They won't believe it.
And it's like a real close friend of mine who lives up the street. We've been friends about, I don't know, a year. She came down one night, and we were looking at the moon through my telescope, and she says, "What's that?" She pointed, and we saw, I guess, like a bright light going across the sky.
Right.
And it stopped and disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, and she's like, "Well, whatever you say." It really, really impressed her.
See, if you want to talk to anybody at any other dimension, you take a deep breath, you hold your breath, and you let your body start to vibrate to a vibration that will link to wherever you want to be. So then as you hold your breath, you just focus and then pulse your breath. And that sets out a carrier wave that you can communicate with.
That's incredible.
And when you do it, it's exciting.
Yeah.
But you see, you did that, you saw it, and now you know it's true.
Yeah, it's like, I used to be real skeptical.
I know, so was I.
About UFOs, and then the first time I saw it, you know, I thought, no, it's a plane. I looked at it again, and I was like, it was too low to be a plane.
Are you skeptical about UFOs now, Will?
No, definitely not.
What about you, Marcel? Are you skeptical about them?
Not a bit. I've been given samples from a UFO.
You were talking about the samples were given to you by Edward Meyer.
Yeah.
Wendell Stevens, Edward Meyer. Tell us about those samples.
Oh, boy. You want to get into that now?
Sure, why not? There's been a lot of controversy about them. Some people said that you never found anything unusual about them, and some people said you did. Well, we've got you on the horn. Were they unusual?
The first sample I had was unusual. This was with a scanning electron microscope photomicrography that we did. We found sections of that piece of metal containing thulium, T-H-U-L-M-I-U-M. It's one of the rare earth elements in a very pure form. And right next to it was aluminum and then silver and then crystalline deposits. And the conglomerate that we saw in this minute sample was exceedingly unusual. I put that sample away from the holder we had from the microscope into a container and put it into my pocket. And I contacted the NASA people. I wanted them to come and take the sample and do an analysis to corroborate what I found. And when I reached into my pocket when the man was there in my office and took out the container, the metal sample had disappeared. So I didn't have it anymore. And so
Where did it go?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't have it. It was gone. But then I got additional samples, and this is where all the controversy started. I did not see the same quality or type of elemental composition. I got controversial statements from Wendell Stevens himself, because I had sent it to Omni, to the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to corroborate what we found, and that unfortunately brought in a controversy, which I said, that's enough, I will have no more to do with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing it on a no-fee basis. I was doing it purely from the interest of seeing if there's truth. I have a small bit of the metal left of these additional samples, not the original, and a person who is sincerely interested, I could share a minute bit with them to do a study if they want.
I understand that there was a high level of calcium in some of those samples.
Well, that is a claim that Stevens made. I did not find calcium.
You didn't find it?
I did not find it. And that's with the same samples that he made claim on. And, I saw aluminum, silver, and another one was indium. So that one specimen looked like silver solder, but this one, the original one. And if you want, Bill, I can send you an actual picture of the sample. Would you be interested?
I certainly would.
Okay, I'll make a copy and I'll mail it down to you. And you can have it for your collection. It's very unusual, and you can see the scanning electron analysis of it, the elemental composition.
Would you go as far as to say that it was not done here on Earth, or...?
I could not conceive. I showed it to some of our metallurgists, and we couldn't conceive how somebody could make a composition like that with this type of purity and the layering that we saw. I did not know how it was put together, and that's the best way I have to summarize. I was also given crystals, and I had Sheila Brown, you know, the psychic?
Yes.
We did a psychometry of it, so she touched the samples the first time. And I have a videotape of her psychometrizing these samples.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave a description of what she felt these were. And I was also given a sample of hair from Sunjazi, who was from the Pleiades.
Right.
And I did a analysis of that here by the means of radionic analysis. I did not do that, but another man did. And when that was done, I felt the presence of Sunjazi. And he's not a very pleasant-looking type of person. They have these bald heads and large eyes that you see in many pictures of UFOs. Well, I personally experienced that.
The description I get of her is one of being rather looking much as we do, rather than as they do from Zeta 1, Zeta 2 Reticula.
Yeah, no, what I saw was she had no hair, and a face that would normally frighten an individual.
Hmm. Well, that's not the description that Billy Meyer gives, of course. But who knows?
Well, I don't know. They may put on the appearance to fit the need of a person.
That's possible.
And these are very, very controversial subjects, and I still want to physically get on board a vessel, then I'd be willing to deal with it on a one-to-one basis, but I have not had the opportunity to do that.
We should talk tomorrow.
Good. We never know.
Because I can't get away, and maybe you can go in my place.
That would be fun.
All right. Let's take another call in just a moment. Will, if you're still with us, thank you very much.
I have one more thing.
Hello, yeah. Will.
When we were doing the spoon bending,
yes.
Well, I was bending a spoon, and I got it to bend down real far.
Good.
And then I bent it back up.
Uh-huh.
And when I was trying to get it back in its normal position, it snapped.
That's right.
Now your mother's going to be unhappy with you.
She is. But
isn't that exciting, Bill, when it does?
I love it. And, Will, I didn't bend mine, you know, and you're 12 years old. This really upsets me.
Well, see, this is the class I had in school. Wouldn't you like to have that in a school class?
Well, would you like to have that in school?
What?
To do metal bending and thought photography and all like that?
I'd love it if we could get it in school.
I did that for 4 years, teaching it up here.
Gosh, that's incredible.
It is. But, see, once you do that, you realize what tremendous powers and faculties you have, and you don't let anybody put you down then, because you know who you are.
Yeah.
Next thing you're going to do, Will, is dissipate some clouds.
Yeah,
and my mom had a real bad headache.
Yes.
Tonight, and when you talked about the healing, we have like two crystals. We have a real big one,
yes,
and then I have a pyramid.
Good.
And my mother was holding the one crystal on her neck, and before you even mentioned the rose, she smelled it. Me and my mother and my father.
I smelled the same rose.
We all smelled it, and it was like, it was really weird.
Isn't that wonderful?
Your rose cast,
yeah.
Your rose cast all over California tonight.
And it was the same thing with the wind.
Uh-huh.
We felt it real strongly on both hands.
Will, thank you for calling in and verifying and sort of fortifying the rest of us here.
Good, we love it.
I'm glad I could get through.
And keep up that acting. Keep up that acting work, Will.
I will.
You sound like a good one there. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me tonight, along with Will, is Marcel Vogel.
I like money.
Is Dr. Marcel Vogel. And with me also is Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine.
I want to ask Dr. Vogel about those crystals.
Yes?
And where you can get them.
Good. They're for sale at our laboratory. My son makes them, and I make them on sale. And you can write to me. You have the address, and we can send you the full particulars on them.
Okay. I'd like to get ones of the healing crystals.
Yes.
Okay, then I'll do that.
You just write to me, and I can help you that way.
Okay, fine.
All right,
very
Kevin?
Good, dear.
Yes.
Very, very good to have you aboard.
Thank you very much.
And let me see. I believe we have, is it Dusty coming up here somewhere?
On the radio a little bit, Larry. I can hardly hear.
Hello, Dusty. We can hear you and Larry just chatting away.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. My letter opener didn't bend. I smelled the rose for a fraction of a second, and I felt temporary relief in the back pain that I just sprained my back a few hours ago.
You did?
Yeah, and I felt, you know, I put my right hand on it and, received with my left hand. See, I work with crystals, too, and I was receiving my crystal energy that are now in cleaning about 30 miles away since they don't have any limitations.
Well, you say you had temporary relief from your back pain, didn't
you? Yeah, it was a knockout pain before that. I could hardly breathe, you know.
Now, is there still pain yet?
It's a pressure. It's not like the stabbing pain.
Good. Now, would you like to get rid of all of it?
Sure.
All right. Close your eyes.
I tell you what, Marcel.
What?
And, Dusty, I want you to hang on.
I will.
Because there is our orchestra, and that means that we're going to take just a pause here. Sorry to do this in the middle of all of that, guys, but time moves on. We're going to take a break for the news here at 11 o'clock. We'll be back at 6 minutes past. Time for you to relax, Dusty. Bill Jenkins. And with me is Dr. Marcel Vogel. Dr. Vogel is in Northern California, and he has been electrifying us tonight. People all over Southern California have been bending spoons and knives and forks, and they have been smelling roses, and some of them have had some of their aches and pains even done away with. Marcel, do you feel proud?
I am just thanking our Lord.
Well, of course, that's where it all comes from.
But I was meditating while we were going through the break period, and I'd like to share something with you now and the rest of the readers. When I was 6 years of age, I suffered double lobar pneumonia four times in 18 months, and I was at the point of death at the last one, and I experienced going out of my body. I saw my body in the bed, and I was floating away from the body. And suddenly, I was back into my body, and the next day I got up and I was well. And I asked the question, why am I alive? What is the purpose now of my living? Because I saw that sudden, abrupt transition. And I would go every morning, I'm Roman Catholic, to Mass. I'd serve the 5:30 Mass in the morning, so I got up before 5 and walked to church. And I repeated that question, dear Lord, give me a clear understanding of why I am living and to what purpose I must apply this life of mine now to service. For 4 years, I prayed every morning this way with no answer, nothing forthcoming. And when I was 11 years of age, at the end of Mass, and I was all alone in church, a voice spoke, and it spoke very clearly. It said, you are to be a chemist, a phosphor chemist. You will write a book on luminescence. You will then build a corporation and then do fundamental research in rare earth phosphorus. When I heard that, I went home and told my parents that I was to be a chemist, and I borrowed a dollar and bought a chemistry set and became a chemist.
That you did.
And at the end of the year, I had a full-blown laboratory going with the help of my father. And each one of these statements were carried out. Namely, I had my own corporation. I published a book with Dr. Peter Pringsheim, and then did rare earth research on the yttrium, vanadate, europium, the rare earth phosphorus that are in color television and in the fluorescent lamps, the red component. What I want to say here is the tremendous power of prayer. Once you focus your mind and you persist that you do and will receive an answer to any prayer, but you must then believe in what is given to you and act on it.
Therein becomes the real hardship in life, and that is responsibility and determination and will.
Yes, remember, 4 years, how many people are willing to pray for a thing for 4 years and not lose faith? One bit of research I did took me 30 years. And when you have a feeling and you know it is true, you then persist and continue, and that will come about.
Never let anything thwart your past.
That is correct. And this is the greatest gift I can give to you and those who are listening to me at this time, is to, above all, believe in yourself and do not lose heart. And everything that happens to one has a purpose and intention to it. And once we learn the lesson, we grow from that and go on living and becoming more fruitful and joyful.
But you see, you were fortunate in a way, Marcel. You heard what you perceived to be a voice speaking loud and rich and clear.
Right.
Which is the starting point. A lot of people have never heard that voice or perceived it in any other way, and they have nowhere to go. They don't know what their goal is in life. They don't know what their purpose is in life.
That is true.
And the problem, the reason that they don't, is because they have never listened.
See, I listened.
And you heard.
And then the voice spoke.
And I think that's true with everybody. If they will only learn to listen, this is where meditation, I think, is so important.
That is the value, my friend, of meditation, is to listen to that voice that speaks within each one of us. And that is our higher self. That is the Christ consciousness, if you want to call it.
And it's shouting at the top of its voice, if you would just listen.
If you just stop and listen. And
you and I are on the same wavelength, Marcel.
You can feel me now focusing on you.
You certainly can. I'd still... Are you doing something with the crystal again?
Yes,
because I'm feeling the wind on my hand again.
Oh, yes. It's in my hand, and I'm waving it up and down on you now.
Well, I've got a wind blowing across my hand.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
No more. I believe it. We had Dusty on the line who had a problem with his back. Dusty,
yes,
are you still with us?
Yeah, I really like what he had to say. I mean, I add that it's hard for me to find a scientist that also, or a physicist that has a spiritual outlook on life, and I think a person that feels that way can go places.
Let me give you a little message, Dusty, about scientists like Dr. Marcel Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
I have a rare opportunity to be able to deal with men of this caliber. It is part of the territory of doing this show. And it has been of great gratification that I have found that the more deeply involved the men of science are these days, the more deeply they are involved in your and their and our spirituality.
Right.
For they realize that that is where the action is.
That's good.
Now let me let you go on.
Hello, my friend.
Hello.
Would you like to see what we can do now to correct the rest of the problem?
Yes. I also have my friend here. He's got a crystal on him. He just got in a car accident a few days ago. His back is hurt. May he do the experiment, too?
I can do the same with your friend now.
Good.
All right. Now, I'm going to tune into...